Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers, he is calling me Dude!
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to Dudes on Hockey. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, we're back live in studio.
We're back, dude.
We're back. It's good to be here, dude.
Yeah.
And I say that with a giant grin on my face, dude. I am really happy to be here.
I'm glad, dude.
Yeah, dude, I need a little break. I swear to God, my shirt smells like baby formula.
I'm sure it does.
It does. I feel like I'm living with Kyle Wellwood because all this baby does is cry and eat.
Perfect.
Oh, but she's beautiful.
Yeah.
I do love
her. A bundle of joy and poop.
It is fun. I mean, she's going to be 3 weeks old tomorrow and she's starting to do things like smile and
poop more.
Yeah. And well, yeah, it's
awesome.
It is awesome. She has quite a knack for doing the double dip. I call it the double dip. So she's got a little poo diaper and I go for the change. And then as soon as I'm sure some of these other fathers who are listening right now, and if we have any mommies listening as well, you go for the change. And as soon as you move that diaper,
bam,
double poop. Here comes the second poop.
Right.
All over the changing pad.
All over everything.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to love it, dude. That's why parenthood is a pleasure. And it's great to be here having a delicious Blue Moon Spring Blonde Wheat Ale with you to talk about Vegas.
Yeah. Dude.
Viva Las Vegas.
I knew this was going to happen.
Viva Las Vegas. Yeah.
Dude. Okay, you got to rub it in. I understand that. I didn't feel good when my last hope rested with the Phoenix Coyotes, for God's sake. Ugh. So, yeah, obviously they were dispatched in quick fashion by the LA Kings, which makes it that much worse. And now you have both teams remaining in the East because my stupid Washington Capitals couldn't win a game and my stupid Philadelphia Flyers couldn't win against the Devils. So I really suck. You're getting a free trip to Vegas. And my question to you is, are you going to feel slightly dirty if the Kings win?
I am absolutely 100% not rooting for the Kings. If it's like blood money, I feel like
I just took
like that awful Blood Diamond movie with Leonardo DiCaprio with that terrible South African accent.
Right, right.
Don't take the blood diamond.
Who
don't,
are you?
Don't buy it.
Who are you, Nick Faldo?
But I will take the free trip to Vegas, dude. But it is certainly on the back of a team that we never thought would be there.
No.
And as it stands right now with the Devils up 3-2, I mean, what a crazy whacked out Stanley Cup playoffs this has been, where, you know, we're looking at a situation where it could be Devils, Kings.
Yeah, the 6 versus the 8. That's crazy.
It is crazy, dude.
That's certainly the craziest, I think, seeding that we've seen in the last, 10, 15 years at least?
I wish that we could go back and listen to the... Well, we could, but we were too lazy to do any pre-work on this episode. But
right. Don't give up the secrets.
If you go back and listen to the selection process, which was a really entertaining 5 minutes.
Not really.
Was really horribly boring. But I remember...
We get like four comments saying, really? You guys had to do this on the air?
Yeah, we did. You know why? Because I'm going to Vegas.
Yeah.
I remember when I picked the Devils, dude.
Yeah.
You laughed at me.
Did I?
You laughed at me.
I did. I said,
Devils. And you're like, Devils.
Yeah, I know. I did.
I know. Well, I certainly never would have thought they'd be in the position that they're in. What's the deal with both of these teams? So I think New York is pretty easy to analyze in terms of why they would still be here right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, number one seed in the East, a dominant season from beginning to end. A very well-balanced roster, and maybe the best goalie in the NHL, although Jonathan Quick makes you question that.
Yeah.
Okay, top two, right?
Right, sure.
Devils, Kings, dude, why are they still here? Especially the Devils.
The Devils, I still don't quite understand. I get the King. I think the Kings are hot. They have great goaltending. Drew Doughty is starting to play well. The experiment by getting Mike Richards and Jeff Carter is certainly paying off. And Dustin Brown has the ability both to injure other players and score shorthanded goals, which is a nice combo. the Kings clearly have, it's a classic situation where sort of everything is coming together. This is a team that lost twice in the last, you know, lost the last two games to the Sharks, to go behind the Sharks in the seeding, something I'm sure they were not happy about, and then proceeded to rip off, what, 9 of 10 or something, 8 of 9, something along those lines. And
yeah, they won 8 of 9.
Right. So the Devils, maybe you can help me, because I really don't understand. Are they faster than the Rangers here? What's going on? Is Brodeur playing well?
Yes, I think Brodeur is playing well. Okay. But I think with both these teams, it's just finding two teams that have figured it out at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And they both play a style that's the exact opposite of teams that are out, like our San Jose Sharks.
Mm-hmm.
Defense first, taking advantage of a very opportunistic team, the New Jersey Devils are. Aggressive forechecking.
Yeah.
And they have a coach that seems to be tuned in to how to game plan for each series.
Right.
And, you know, with New Jersey, you know, they had although I think that series went 7, right, against Florida.
Mm-hmm.
They've had this is no cheap trip to the finals if they make it.
Oh, yeah. They would have beaten the Flyers and the Rangers.
I mean, that's some heavy lifting.
Yeah. You know? Oh, yeah.
That's some heavy lifting. Whereas if you look at the Rangers and you go, okay, you've gone 7 against Ottawa and the Caps, you know.
Right.
And now you're going to have to go 7 against the Devils. I feel like as much as I'll be rooting for the Rangers, if they do rally and beat New Jersey, which is totally possible, and right. They really should,
mm-hmm.
if they do, and then you go and play a Kings team that basically has lost twice in the entire playoffs.
Right.
They're 12-2.
Right.
In their last 14. That's crazy.
It's crazy. And I think even before the series started tilting the Devils' way, and it looked like the Rangers could have won it in 5 or 6 games, I still would have said then, and I say now, that the Kings, regardless of whoever wins the Eastern Conference, the Kings are the favorite. Are the favorite.
Yeah, I think it's hard to argue that, dude, because of how well-rested they are and how their overall performance has been in this playoffs has just been purely dominant.
Right.
And, you know, we talked about this, I think, the last time we did the podcast, of how disheartening it is to see how they just beat the right. hell out of the Blues. Like, right. the team that destroyed us, mm-hmm. 8 out of 9, the Kings went in and just murdered them.
Right.
And made Brian Elliott look like an idiot and just completely destroyed them. And you go, God, like, that made me feel worse. Like,
right.
It doesn't make me feel better at all. Like, oh, good, the Blues are gone. No, I feel terrible, actually,
right. yeah.
that we were so bad that the Kings were that much better than us.
Yeah.
It doesn't bode well for now, and it makes me feel really bad about next year, especially with the reports that McClellan now supposedly has been told already that he's staying,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should start there, because there's been these reports, right, dude?
Well,
unconfirmed.
Unconfirmed, but it seems likely, and I know we did talk about this last week, although you may not remember because you were a little light on sleep at that point, but I think what I said, and maybe I'm just hedging and being a wuss about it, but I think I said if McClellan is willing to embrace a different game plan and a different way of coaching the team and a different overall strategy, then I guess I'm okay with it, mostly because who else is out there that we would be very excited about?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really great question. And I don't know the answer to that, dude, in terms of a replacement coach.
It looks like
I just don't have any confidence mm-hmm. that Todd McClellan is going to change anything.
Right.
I don't think he's going to change anything. You've got a guy who is, you know, what NHL coach has adapted their personal philosophy or entire strategy of how they believe the game should be played? I mean, you've got guys who have calling cards, you mm-hmm. know? How many teams has Mike Keenan coached because of his, right. you know, style of play? You know, Scotty Bowman's not going to change the way that he coaches.
Well,
you know.
Well, of course. Scotty right. Bowman may be the greatest coach in NHL history.
Okay, maybe bad example.
Toe Blake there. And Scotty Bowman, maybe.
Maybe bad example, but I just don't, I don't believe that he's going to change his approach to the game. And when you look at the teams that are still standing, the Sharks don't stack up against that style of play right now. And mm-hmm. will that style of play continue to rule the roost next season? I don't know, but I've got to think that it will, because based on how all those teams, especially Phoenix and LA, gave the Sharks fits.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, man, it's just frustrating.
I also caution against going too far to one side or the other, because I remember Wings Fan and Sharks Land posted a comment saying, yeah, the Sharks are really great at copying other teams. And 2 years ago, the en vogue thing to do was to go and ride Michael Layton to the finals and get two cheapo goalies and just make it work. And this season, if anything, it's the complete opposite. We have two Vezina Trophy candidates in the finals in Lundqvist and Quick, and multiple Conn Smythe winner and Vezina winner Martin Brodeur as the third team, and maybe one of the most dominating tandem performances in Brian Elliott, and of course Mike Smith had an awesome playoff. So clearly, if these fads do happen, and clearly they do, they don't necessarily happen for very long. So this might be the trend now, is to get great goaltending, play a very defensive style. But I could see next year the whole thing just turns around.
So you're saying that we should forge our own road and have our own personality?
I'm not saying that for sure. You know, the thing is, and people talk about this in lots of different sports, and I'm sure it's as true for executives as it is for coaches, which is people coach and manage their jobs in a way as to not get fired. And one way to not get fired is to try not to make huge mistakes. You make the same dumb mistakes as everybody else, and then you don't stick out and get canned. It's like guys going for it on fourth down in the NFL, right? It's the right play most of the time, and nobody does it, because if it doesn't come through, then you look like an idiot. So it's a nice, easy thing to say, look at all these teams that were great. Now we have to go off and get a number one goaltender, and we have to go off and play a really defensive style. And if it doesn't work, well, what are we supposed to say? We're going with what works. Conventional wisdom. You know, it's a way to save your own ass. So in a way, I kind of hope the Sharks don't do that, but I hope that they change what they have been doing, because what they have been doing isn't working.
Right. Listen, I have no problem with the style of play when it works.
Right.
It wasn't working, and the thing that's alarming to me is that all of those teams that played that way were gone and gone early.
Right.
And that is a red flag to me. Now, maybe that won't be the case next year, and the Wings and Hawks and Sharks and Canucks will all be back standing at the end, and this year was a blip,
mm-hmm.
okay? But it makes me nervous.
Yeah, you can't feel real confident about that.
I gotta say, it makes me nervous, and I don't feel confident about the penalty kill, and I certainly don't feel confident that Brian Marchment, who has zero coaching experience
right.
other than like a roving instructor, is going to be possibly the answer, you know, as the mystery assistant who's going to be brought in. I don't know. How do you feel about the tight-lippedness of the whole thing?
It's par for the course. Yeah, that's Doug Wilson's MO. He announces his decision when he's ready. He announces his decision when it's completely set and done. He's not going to say, well, we're going to kind of make these changes, but I'm not real sure yet. No, he says nothing, and then he says everything.
Mm-hmm.
It appears, you know, reading the tea leaves, that Jay Woodcroft is going to be one of maybe more than one sacrificial lamb, since I think he was in charge of the penalty kill. And, I have sort of a soft spot in my heart for Jay Woodcroft, because, you know, he talked to us at the fantasy camp, and he's like our age, and
sure.
it's kind of cool.
I've met him too. He's a really cool guy. He can't coach a PK. I'm sorry.
That seems to be the situation.
I hope he doesn't get canned. I'd love to see him go back to his original assignment, which was, you know, being the video coach.
Right.
You know, don't can him. Just take that away from him. He's not ready. Like,
right.
Clearly.
And so maybe Marchman has some amazing ideas. I don't know.
What, like knee somebody on the PK?
Maybe.
That's his calling card. We'll call it the Dustin Brown.
The Dustin Brown style of PK.
Oh, man. I don't know. I feel like this is all we've been talking about, so maybe we should move on. But
yep.
The longer McClellan is still sort of flapping on the clothesline, the more I just question that this is not a lock for him.
Mm-hmm.
That there's something, like, what is he waiting for? Like, why I mean, the Canucks have already come out and extended Alain Vigneault. Mm-hmm. Joel Quenneville has been given the vote of confidence by the Blackhawks, basically to protect against him going to Montreal.
Yeah.
So why hasn't, if it's done, what's he waiting for? Or is there some sort of mystery, conspiracy, maybe a second phone call to Scotty Bowman checking in? Hey, sure you don't want to come back?
It could be.
I mean, you know, like what's the holdup here?
Maybe he's, maybe he's looking around.
I just got to think that this isn't a lock yet. If it's a lock, why haven't we heard yet that this is done?
Right. Straight from the horse's mouth?
Yeah, why not? Yeah. I mean, you know, what's the big mystery?
Because he listens to the podcast, dude, and he knows that you don't fire a coach until you have someone to replace him. So he's looking
around.
Right,
sure. Well, that's what I'm saying is if you're 100% with this guy, then after you had the meeting with him, why don't you at the next opportunity come out and say, this is our coach?
Mm-hmm.
Because I still don't buy that that's his decision yet, despite what some of these yahoos, uninformed people are reporting. Clearly, we know everything.
Right, exactly.
Oh, dude.
Let's go to an email. Because we did get an email. So this is from Anthony, and he says, "G'day, dudes.
G'day, Anthony."
His question is, in the latest podcast, we spoke a fair bit about the Sharks goalie situation, which got me wondering what the FCUK, dude, what does that mean? Oh, that's a misspelling. Oh, my mistake. Ever happened to Nitamaki, and is he still going to cost the Sharks next year? Why did we not see him again once he recovered from his injury, and was he really that bad? And if so, why did we get him in the first place, and is he tradable? Also, what other, if any, prospects from the farm sides have possibly shown the progress through the season that could suggest that they may be ready to step up next year, like a Stalock as discussed, or even Petrecki or the like. So, dude, Nitamaki is...
gone.
He's gone.
His contract has lapsed, so he's gone.
He's gone, and they basically ditched him after his injury. Because what? Because Thomas Greiss was playing pretty... Why do you think they did that? Because Thomas Greiss was playing pretty well?
I think it was Greiss was playing well, and he carried a $2 million cap hit. So,
right.
You know, you can't afford to carry a guy who has proven no consistent health, you know, throughout a year and a half,
mm-hmm.
just to have him along as a caddy. I mean, they were clearly 100% Niemi all day, every day.
Right.
So... why have Nitamaki around, you know, and whatever else was going on. But I think Greiss played well enough to lock up that job. So
yeah.
That's what happened there. So we don't have to worry about him, Anthony. He's gone.
And why did we get him in the first place? Because at the time, Nabby, if you remember, Nabby was leaving. We decided, the Sharks decided they weren't going to re-sign him. And they signed Nitamaki on the first day of free agency. And
yeah.
It seemed like that was the decision the Sharks had made at the time.
He was going to be the guy.
Right. And then Niemi... inexplicably was not retained by the Blackhawks, and Doug Wilson scratched his head one day and said, why don't we go get him? He was like Riley Martin. He's like,
hypothesize the obvious.
I think the alien will go get Nandy Diaby.
Maybe five people think that's funny right now.
Doesn't matter. We're two of the five. So we got Niemi basically as because it was a not a goof, but it was a fluke that a guy like that was available. Otherwise, I think Wilson would have gone after him to start. But
well,
that's the sad and short story of Antero Nitamaki on the San Jose Sharks.
Here are the goalies that are around, Anthony. Thomas Greiss is signed for one more year. I believe his contract next year, Matt D'Agostini, is one-way NHL-only deal. So okay. I think Greiss is... gonna be on the Sharks next year, or he's gonna be lost via trade or waivers. He can't be sent freely down to Worcester. All right. The goalie that I think for both of us is the one that we're waiting to be given his opportunity is Alex Stalock.
Right.
Like, this guy's earned the shot. I mean, he recovered from a huge nerve injury last year. And the situation in the AHL with the Sharks goalies is pretty stacked. They've got Harry Sateri, they've got Tyson Sexsmith, and they've got Alex Stalock. It was so stacked that they had to send Stalock to Stockton of the ECHL, and then they had to send him to another AHL team, the Peoria Rivermen, and he played so poorly there, dude, in three games with his 964 save percentage and his 1.13 goals allowed that he certainly doesn't deserve to get a look because he's clearly not healthy.
Right. He's not playing well at all now.
And, you know, for Stockton, I mean, Sexsmith was an AHL All-Star, much like Stalock was the year before. I mean, Sexsmith, let's see. This is... not that's the Stockton stats, dude, as I screwed that up. Here we go, dude. I'm pulling it up on the iPod. Sexsmith, 916 save percentage and a 233 goals allowed. That's not bad.
That's good.
All right.
Yeah.
Sateri, 908, 286. Not great.
Not great.
Not great.
Not terrible. Not great.
Two shutouts. Sexsmith, no shutouts. So will one of these goalies get a legitimate shot in camp to play at the NHL level next year, dude?
I don't believe so.
Yeah. I think you're right.
How could you say that?
God, it's very frustrating. And you got to imagine for these three guys how frustrating this must be.
Right.
To look up and see that there's just... as long as Niemi's here, really no shot.
Well, he has to really start sucking, basically, for somebody else to get a shot.
Start? We'll get to that in a second with the dirty diaper.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the case. As for anybody else, do you see anybody else on the Worcester Sharks really having a shot at making camp that we would be surprised at? This isn't, you know, a guy in the Mash and Tur McCarthy situation where they would get 3 minutes a game on in a fourth line role, play for five games, and then get sent back. Is there somebody who could make the jump from the AHL to the NHL and then conceivably have a chance of sticking for the long term? You see anybody, dude?
Next year?
Yeah, let's say next year.
No. I don't think so. I don't think, and unfortunately that is a indictment on how shallow the Sharks prospect pool is.
It is.
It's that next year, there isn't a guy who you didn't already mention. You know, like, I think someone like Brandon Mashinter, I want him to be good. The idea of another Klo-type forward is a good one. And you look at his stats in the AHL, it's just disappointing.
Yeah.
16 goals, you know, on a minor league level.
Right.
And you know, you're expected to make the jump and contribute more than 3 minutes. You know, we don't need him to be Fraser McLaren. I mean, we need this guy to actually play some minutes. So you look at the guys down there and you go, who's ready to make the jump? You got to think none of them.
Give me the stat line for Taylor Doherty, excuse me.
Oh, Taylor Doherty had a really bad year this year. You know, dude, he played 63 games, 6 assists, 76 penalty minutes. Yeah. I remember reading on someone's Worcester Sharks recap, I think it might have been on Sharks page, that he was maybe the most disappointing Sharks prospect.
Great.
You know, maybe it was on Hockey's Future, like it,
yeah,
that he was extremely disappointing and they had lumped Nick Petrecki into that group too. The guy that everyone seems to be high on, and I'm again looking at either, this was either on Hockey Prospectus or Hockey's Future, and if I find a link to it, we'll post it on the blog, is Konrad Abtolhauser has been signed to an AHL deal, and I would assume it maybe will be part of the Worcester Sharks next year.
Great, dude.
All right. So that's a guy who's taken some huge leaps and bounds.
Mm-hmm.
And Freddie Hamilton will be in the mix next year. You know, I'm sure they'll handle him much like they handle Couture, where, I mean, this is a guy who has top six NHL forward talent.
Mm-hmm.
Played on the Canadian junior team. I mean, that's nothing to thumb your nose at.
That's not easy to make on. Yeah.
So can he play in Worcester and have like 60, 70 points, you know?
Right.
And be like an effective top tier AHL center for a year or two,
then
transition. I don't know, dude, but yeah, I don't see any. Marek Videnski had a disappointing year. Yeah, not good.
What about Senna Akkolatse?
Senna Akkolatse actually had a pretty good year. 21 points, 89 PIMs.
As a
rookie AHL defenseman.
Right.
So, you know, did not have a bad year. And a guy who had another good year in Worcester's Matt Irwin.
Yeah, Matt Irwin had a great year.
You know, we saw him very briefly in San Jose this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard to tell.
Yeah.
You know?
You see him but 10 seconds.
The Sharks blue line, I think there's a few guys, if they're still on the team, that are locked for minutes. And, you know, I don't think Jason Demers is a lock for minutes next year.
No.
And when we get to the dirty diaper, I mean, I don't think Douglas Murray is a lock to be on the team, period.
Right.
You know, we're looking at identifying players who need to be changed, but.
Dude, let's jump to that. You posted a challenge on the blog and threw down the gauntlet as to a couple of different awards, and several commenters picked up the challenge. And you had, so why don't you tell us what the two awards proposed? And we have several nominees, and we're going to reveal the winners here on the podcast today.
Do we have any dramatic music, dude?
Let's see what I got here. That button doesn't work. What about this button? There we go.
Okay, here we go. Dramatic music du jour. Our first award, dude, is the King Douchebag. All right, this is for the douchiest NHL player, both on and off the ice. Requirements for this award would be some sort of lame-ass behavior, maybe some sort of suspension, doing something really stupid, being just generally all-around douchey, dude.
Right.
All right, and here were the five players who got the most comments on the blog as being people who should be considered, dude.
Okay. All right? Yes.
Number one, Patrick Kane.
Obviously.
All right, Patrick Kane, especially with his recent escapades being covered on Deadspin, which is a blog that everyone should follow, by the way.
It's awesome.
All right, it is awesome.
And there's some, I hope you saw the Photoshop contest.
Yeah, I saw it.
Oh, it was hilarious.
It was really funny. Patrick Kane, his drunken escapades out, allegedly choking people and wearing a shirt with like his own picture on the back.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that he punched a cab driver, had pictures taken with some really mediocre looking Canadian women in a limo with no shirt.
Yeah.
Plus the pictures posted of him like sleeping in some college girl's bed on Twitter.
Yeah.
This guy and, you know, his drunk speech at the Stanley Cup, you know, acceptance.
Yeah.
There's a laundry list of reasons why Patrick Kane is a douchebag, dude.
Right. Yeah.
Now, one would argue the other side of that is, how old is he? 22?
23.
He's 23.
Right.
All right? We probably did some things when we were 23 that if we were stars, we would be as embarrassed.
If I was a little weasel, 23 years old, and had $8 trillion, I might do some of the things that he has been
doing. So Patrick Kane is nominee number one. Okay. Number two, Mr. 25-game suspension, Rafi Torres.
Yes.
This guy gets suspended every year, you know, for some sort of awful behavior. We remember him against the Sharks for what, dude?
He bloodied Patrick Marleau.
I can't remember which player he took out in that playoff series, but it was when the Edmonton played the Sharks, and he definitely took a run at somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure someone will correct us on the blog.
That was Marleau.
Just all around villain in the NHL,
and a guy that we want on the team.
Would want. Yeah, we've advocated for him being on the team a few times.
Yeah.
I think every team needs a guy like that. I mean, even though maybe he went too far, but some people would argue that his 25-game suspension this time around is a bit overdone.
I think it was more of a function of his history rather than a function of that particular hit.
Okay. Rafi Torres, nominee number two.
Mm-hmm.
Nominee number three, Mr. Attempted Murder, Todd Bertuzzi.
Who can forget? The hit against Moore and driving him into the ice, leading to a year-long suspension. The "it is what it is" answer to every question, including "is the sun coming up tomorrow?" It is what it is. jumped around to several teams and has never quite regained his previous form. So, and of course, you know, he's been on the Wings, which makes him easy to hate.
This guy was an elite NHL player
absolutely.
Before this incident, and it has just neutered him, you know, into being a third-line guy. Mm-hmm. So, Todd Bertuzzi. Maybe the gods have spoken and punished him enough. We don't need to make him King Douchebag. All right. Fourth nominee is Maxime Lapierre.
Right.
Of the Vancouver Canucks.
A cheap shot guy. A guy that everybody hates. I don't know if I'd go as far as to say, like, Torres, he would be a guy that I would want on my team, because I don't really think he contributes that much hockey-wise.
Yeah, he's a mouthpiece. Yeah. I mean, this guy is a yapper.
He just
right?
runs his yap.
Yeah.
And, you know, makes people mad and throws them off their game a little bit. It's, you know, it'll last as far as that goes. If that ever stops, then he's quickly going to become marginalized in the NHL.
Our fifth and final nominee is Mrs. Corey Perry.
Absolutely.
Corey Perry is also a cheap shop artist, right? Cheap shot yeah. artist. An exceptionally good player. Yeah. A stomper.
Yeah, stepped on Nabby. Who can forget that?
And just a general tool.
Yep.
So he's already a tool. Is he king douchebag, dude?
I know I have my answer.
All right. Well, dude, you are holding the envelope.
I am.
All right. You are holding the envelope, dude.
All right.
So the winner of the 2011-2012 San Jose Sharks king douchebag is...
Patrick Kane.
Yeah!
How could you possibly dispute that? The guy, his record is a mile wide. It's amazing, this guy.
What's the worst, douchiest thing he's done?
If the choking thing is true, that is clearly the worst thing. I mean, come on, choking some random college girl? Allegedly. Come on. Yeah. And I mean, but I have to say, the shirt with his name and feet and face on it is almost as bad as the choking. Huh. And the fact that it was like a fluorescent green color.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, you're in your 20s now. This isn't like 18-year-old, like college freshman drinking natty ice. Woo! I mean, come on. You think no one's going to take a picture of that crap? It's Twitter, for God's sake.
Dude, I couldn't agree with the decision more. And Patrick Kane, congratulations, King Douchebag.
Yep.
All right, we have our next award, dude, which is the Dirty Diaper Award.
All the way to San Jose, we've outspent to the cap. Ronnie, what you think about that?
I had to play that. I just...
It's been a long time.
It's been a while since I played that. It's
play
good.
It, play it again.
Okay.
All the way to San Jose.
All right.
We've outspent to the cap. Ronnie, what you think about that?
So the Dirty Diaper Award, which is which Sharks player would you not want to see return to the team next season? No rules, no logic, no worrying about trade clauses or amnesty clauses or contract sizes. Which player do you just want to see gone? Dude, who are the finalists?
Finalist number one is Antti Niemi.
Yes.
Antti Niemi.
Mm-hmm.
The possible poster child for his game 5 gaffe
mm-hmm.
on a horribly played goal
yep.
that broke the dam. Sharks were winning with limited time left, and then two goals scored very quickly. One of them definitely Niemi's fault, and he certainly has let in his fair share of soft goals in his tenure in 2 years, dude. Nominee number two, mm-hmm. Patrick Marleau.
Yes. A couple people said Marleau. So I think people are getting fed up, if they weren't already, with Marleau's rather flat affect, to use a psychology term. The fact that he doesn't have a lot of outward fire, I'm sure, rubs people the wrong way. It rubs me the wrong way. You look at his numbers, they're really not bad, but I think people are looking for more, seeing this as more of a sign of a structural change in the team. Not necessarily saying Marleau is the worst player ever, but this is a guy that sort of epitomizes what's wrong with the Sharks, and you got to change things at the top before you can change the structure and culture of the team.
Yeah, I look at how the teams are playing right now. I can't imagine Patrick Marleau on the Devils or the Kings.
Right.
How would that work? I don't see it.
Yeah.
And even someone like Dustin Penner, he scored the goal that sent them to the finals.
Well, that's because you could see IHOP from where it was on the ice.
They've got the best pancakes on the East Coast.
All you can eat.
He can't wait to go to Waffle House.
That's true.
Okay. Nominee number three.
Yes.
Michael Hanzus.
Yes.
Star of the World Championship of Hockey.
I know. Slovakia scores the game-winning goal. How frustrating is that?
It's so frustrating.
Yeah, yeah.
You have a guy who was essentially useless
mm-hmm.
for the latter two-thirds of the season. Maybe didn't start so poorly. But it eventually, you know, is riding Pine and then goes off and wins a silver medal in the name of Pavel Dimitra. All right.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, that's not a joke. That's nice. Actually, I saw a picture of Thomas Kopechki actually at, you know, Dimitra's gravesite with a silver medal on it.
Oh, that's
pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
All right. Nominee number four, perhaps a little shocking, a very popular player, Douglas Murray.
Yep. I think we saw the unfortunate downside of Murray's lack of speed this postseason. We've certainly seen it before, but this time it seemed to be an obstacle that he couldn't quite overcome. So, you know, certainly he knows it. The coaches know it. Everybody in the NHL knows it. You know, this is a, you know, the reason he's been able to stay in the NHL is because he's a very good thinking player. He's a damn good positional player, and he doesn't usually put himself in those positions to make those kinds of mistakes. Unfortunately, they seem to be piling up a little bit, and Murray could be on his way out. So I think some people are getting tired of that.
Final player, Colin White.
Yeah.
The whipping boy of my postseason check to you. Mm-hmm. I hate Colin White.
Yeah.
Was my parting words for the 2011-2012 season.
Yeah.
Feels a little bitter, especially since when we got him for almost nothing after the Devils waived him. We were feeling pretty good about it.
We were, definitely.
And then he bit us in the ass.
He did. And it was, they knew something that we didn't. I saw a good, solid career from Colin White prior to this year. And maybe the Devils saw something, and that caused them to not retain him. And he, you know, lived up to their prediction and really had a pretty nasty, terrible year for the Sharks. Couldn't stay in the lineup. I thought maybe he was going to be, you know, Jim Vandermeer was making the lineup as a forward over him. And it was just, it was a terrible, terrible thing.
Not good. You got to assume that he's a lock for not coming back, right?
Yeah. I'd say that's pretty well true. He's unrestricted, so he's not coming back.
All right. Those are our five nominees for the Dirty Diaper Award. All dude, right. Are you ready? You have the results?
I do. Here we
go. All right. Dirty Diaper. And the dirtiest diaper is
Michael Hunt.
Yes, of course it's Michael Hunt.
Of course Hunt's. It's Michael Hunt.
This guy, you sign him in the offseason to a 2-year deal, and then you have to make two trades midseason to replace his lame play?
Right, and you're paying him $2 million.
Inexcusable, unforgettable. Michael Hunt, please, please don't come back next year.
Right.
I don't want him back. I don't want to see him again. He contributed nothing.
Right.
Nothing. He didn't help anything. And I don't care what the reason was. I'm sorry.
Right.
I know maybe there was a distraction for him. Okay. But you have to separate that at some point. Right.
Yeah.
And contribute. And he cost the Sharks money plus Jamie McGinn plus draft picks.
Yeah.
And I'm pissed about it.
Right. Yeah. How could you not be? I mean, it's not his fault. I mean, it's his fault they got traded. I mean, he didn't make those trades.
No, but his poor play was the reason why those moves were made, and the Sharks are now without a second-round draft pick and without three good young players. Now, yeah, we got Daniel Winnick. We got TJ Gagliardi, two guys who I think are guaranteed to be part of the Sharks team for next year and probably for the next several years. Mm-hmm. But if Hanzus is playing well, I don't think those deals are made, period.
Right. I agree. I agree with you. All right, dude. Let's see how we're doing on time here. Oh, wow. We're getting up there.
We've been talking a lot, dude.
Yeah, we have. I guess we should wrap this up. So maybe I should talk a little bit about tickets, dude. It appears we are going to make a change. I know I posted about renewing season tickets, so here is the verdict. The verdict is that I'm still going to be a season ticket holder, but you are not. Understandable, dude. You have a new family, you got a young baby, you reserve the right to come back, and you're going to do it, and in a couple years we're going to be going to the games again, but I decided not to bail out. So I'm sticking in, dude. I was a little mad about the ticket hike, but you know what? I'm just going to suck it up, and I'm going to get tickets again. So there it is.
So we're breaking up.
Oh yeah, I guess maybe the public forum wasn't the right time to it's not you, it's me.
Why are you telling me this now?
Well, it's better than me texting you, right?
What are you thinking?
I was going to put it on Facebook.
What are you thinking right now?
I don't know. I'm not thinking anything.
Why? Why would you do this in front of all these people, these dozens of people listening to the podcast?
These several people listening to the podcast.
I can't believe you just broke up with me on the podcast. I'm so offended. I'm going to have to go home and hold my child. It's because I didn't have your baby?
It's like that episode of Girls I just watched on HBO. It's because you didn't have my baby, dude. Okay. You chose your wife over me.
Dude, I appreciate you understanding my decision. I hope the listeners understand as well. Obviously, very challenging to go to 41 home games with a infant child at home. But I plan on coming back. Mm-hmm. And I will certainly still be watching. And this is by no means the end of the podcast.
No, no.
We will continue to soldier on and delight you with our witty repartee.
Speaking of which, dude, we're only two episodes away. This is 198. We're two episodes away from 200.
What are we going to do? Should we have another party that no one comes to?
Yeah, maybe we should do that. Or we could just sit here and have another beer in a couple of weeks.
That sounds good, dude.
Yeah, maybe we should just do that. If anybody has any good ideas for the 200th episode extravaganza,
yes, please.
Let us know. And if it involves us leaving this room, then we're probably not going to do it. But if there's any other ideas, then God, we that could was do this.
I remember doing the 100th at Coaches, right?
Yeah, it was at Coaches and Campbell.
That was fun, actually.
It was fun. It included beer.
It did. It was good, and a few people showed up.
Yeah, it was fun.
Well, we'll still be around this summer, and certainly as the Sharks continue to make news and we get closer to the NHL draft. I mean, the Sharks having a draft pick much higher than they've had in years, mm-hmm. you know? Drafting in the top 20, you know, really, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they're drafting in the top 20. So, there's definitely going to be some action happening, or maybe there'll be a severe lack of action due to the collective bargaining agreement not being in place. But we'll certainly be here to break down the highs and the lows, dude. And I'll have more stories of formula and soft serve like poop.
Hooray.
Yay.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.